The FCC is asking for the public's input on its idea to revise or eliminate some regulations on TV station ownership. The initiative is called Delete, Delete, Delete.
Delete, delete, delete? That doesn't sound good.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it's not. Never is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF, all spectacular affiliates over our public airwaves. Please support them. Also, please support those that air us on the internets, coast to coast and around the globe, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and, of course, most of your favorite podcast sites, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from the independent bradblog.com. Glad you can join us today. Welcome to the Bradcast. As ever, great to have you here. And by the way, as I think I may be underscored by today's program, thank you for supporting independent media, whether you do so by, you know, donating to our 100% listener-supported efforts via bradblog.com/donate or just by listening to the Bradcast and or sharing this program and our stories at bradblog.com. It is all appreciated, especially right now. We are up against Goliath and could not keep going each day without you. So thank you for that. One of those Goliaths, longtime listeners may recall, is a huge far-right broadcast conglomerate by the name of Sinclair Broadcasting. We haven't mentioned them in a while, but you may remember back in early 2018, right around this time of the year, during the first Trump administration, when that company ordered all of its local newsrooms at all of the various local TV stations that it controls around the country to run a script pre-written at their corporate headquarters supporting Donald Trump's phony claims about fake news, etc. It made quite a splash at the time, especially when outlets like Deadspin had put together a montage of all of these different trusted local TV news anchors at scores of Sinclair-owned and operated newsrooms telling viewers, well, the exact same thing, word for word, as if it was their own editorial about the state of local television news.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities,
the El Paso, Las Cruces communities,
Eastern Iowa communities,
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about trouble and trying to be responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming,
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy, and yet they're doing it anyway.
Yes, they are.
That was back in April of 2018 during the first Trump administration. And now, with an emboldened Trump in office and sycophants even more willing to do his bidding at executive agencies like the FCC, we are seeing something very similar today, but from an even larger media outlet than Sinclair, which operates even more local TV news outlets around the country that you might think are actually competitors with each other, but are anything but. And now that company has ordered their trusted local TV affiliate newsrooms to report yet another corporate written script, this time in hopes of manipulating viewers into contacting the FCC with a message favorable to the largest broadcaster in America.
What a surprise.
Indeed. Hi, Desi Doyen.
Hi.
Veteran broadcaster and media activist Sue Wilson joins us shortly to explain this remarkable story and what you can and frankly should do, as I see it, in response, at least as those of us actually independent media outlets might regard all of this. But speaking of media manipulation by the Trump administration, before we get to Sue, a bit of good news on a related story of a sort that we've been following closely for the past month or two. A federal judge on Tuesday ordered Donald Trump to restore Voice of America and other government-funded worldwide radio broadcasts. Now, you'll recall we've been covering this story since the White House ordered the layoffs of more than 1,000 staff members and the shutdown of the worldwide broadcasts of VOA and its various sister networks after some 80 years of broadcasting around the globe, continuously beginning back in February of 1942, initially as a counter to Nazi propaganda in Europe. And they've been broadcasting continuously around the world until last month when the Trump administration shut them down, or at least tried to. We've been joined several times since then by VOA's chief national correspondent, Steve Herman, to discuss this ridiculous and, by the way, unlawful shutdown of one of our nation's most important soft power tools around the world, spreading the idea of democracy and, as importantly, a free press around the globe for decades by reporting real, unbiased news, particularly to autocratic nations where real news is often entirely unavailable to the local population. We're not there yet in these United States, but well, in a 10-page order on Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth ruled that the president's efforts to dismantle the U.S. Agency for Global Media Broadcasts of Voice of America, Radio Free Asia, and Middle East broadcasting networks were likely illegal and must be restored after Trump had signed an executive order on March 14 attempting to eliminate VOA. The judge ordered the Trump administration, quote, to take all necessary steps to return USAGM, that's the United States Agency for Global Media, that's the parent agency to VOA and the others, to return USAGM employees and contractors to the status previously held prior to the executive order. Last month, the White House laid off more than 1,300 Voice of America staffers and accused the 83-year-old broadcasting agency of being anti-Trump and a waste of taxpayer money. Less than a week later, six VOA staffers filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration for shuttering USAGM, alleging that the Trump executive order violates the First Amendment, not to mention the law.
True.
The lawsuit followed a separate filing from USAGM affiliates Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty, which also argued that Trump's actions are illegal. Lead plaintiff and VOA White House Bureau Chief Patsy Witta-Kurswara, always have a difficult time saying her name, she said in a statement on Tuesday, quote, "My colleagues and I are grateful for this ruling, but we know this is just a small step forward as the government is likely to appeal. We are committed to continuing to fight against what we believe is the administration's unlawful silencing of VOA until we can return to our congressional mandate to tell America's story through factual, balanced, and comprehensive reporting." So there, for now, at least, a bit of good news on the international front regarding U.S. media. A bit more troubling news on the national media front, however, earlier on Tuesday. According to a Pease report on this last night, a company, I should note, which itself is embroiled in a legal battle with Donald Trump, who has barred the Associated Press from certain White House press avails because he's mad that the international organization still refers to the Gulf of Mexico by its actual name instead of as the Gulf of America, as Trump insists. In any event, AP reports that with his show involved in a bitter dispute with President Donald Trump, the top executive at the storied CBS News show 60 Minutes abruptly resigned on Tuesday while saying that he's losing the freedom to run the long-running program independently without intrusive corporate oversight. Bill Owens, who's only the third executive producer of television's most popular and influential decades-old TV magazine, said in a note to staff that it has, quote, "become clear that I would not be allowed to run the show as I have always run it, to make independent decisions based on what was right for 60 Minutes, right for the audience. The show is too important to the country," he wrote. "It has to continue, just not with me as the executive producer." Trump sued 60 Minutes, you may recall, for $20 billion. Sorry, $20 billion last fall, ridiculously claiming that it deceptively edited an interview with his Democratic election opponent, Kamala Harris, right before the election, during a program in which Trump himself had refused to sit down for his own interview. CBS, for a year, decades, has been interviewing both the Republican and the Democratic presidential nominees right before the election. And in this case, Trump, I believe, was scheduled to do so and then decided, no, I don't want to. And instead, he then whined and complained and sued CBS News, claiming that Kamala Harris's interview was somehow deceptively edited to make her look good.
Yeah, and of course, CBS then released the transcript, and it was kind of like there was nothing there. It was a nothing burger.
It was, media experts almost universally agree that Trump's suit is entirely baseless, even if it wasn't for $20 billion. There just doesn't seem to be anything there. And nonetheless, when Trump took office for his second term, his Federal Communications Commission chair, Brendan Carr, announced that CBS would be investigated for this interview. Yes, weaponizing the government to punish Trump's perceived enemies, just as he complained that the Biden administration was doing to him, even though, of course, they weren't. Nonetheless, at the same time, CBS's parent company, Paramount Global, run by Sherry Redstone, is seeking approval from the administration for a corporate merger with a company named Skydance Media. So you can see the problem here. And thus, Paramount has been in mediation talks with the administration, at least with Donald Trump, to settle that lawsuit, despite how ridiculous the suit is and how little chance it has to succeed if it actually went into a court of law. But the idea of settling with Trump has been a prospect that has been bitterly opposed by Bill Owens of 60 Minutes, and others at 60 Minutes and at CBS News. And yet the corporate heads, well, you know, they got to do business. They got a big merger they want approval for from Donald Trump. So what's a giant media conglomerate to do? With this backdrop, 60 Minutes has nonetheless been running tough stories about the new administration. Trump has angrily denounced those reports, of course, on social media. For example, after an April 13 episode featuring critical stories about Ukraine and Greenland, saying that CBS should, quote, pay a big price, unquote, for going after him. According to the New York Times, at an emotional meeting with staffers on Tuesday, Owen's voice sounded raw. He struggled with his words, tearing up as he announced his decision to the 60 Minutes staff to leave. He said, quote, it's clear the company is done with me. That, according to a recording of this meeting that was obtained by the Times, during the meeting, Owens alluded to his displeasure with additional layers of oversight that CBS executives had placed on the program earlier this year, clearly an effort to try to appease Trump in some fashion, with Owens noting that for decades, as corporate owners, even CBS News itself, quote, didn't know what was coming up on the show. They trusted 60 Minutes to report the stories and program the broadcast the way that 60 Minutes saw fit. Any change to that arrangement, he added, created a, quote, really slippery slope. Well, welcome to the slippery slope. Owens also discouraged staff from quitting in protest. He said, quote, I do think this will be a moment for the corporation to take a hard look at itself and its relationship with us, he said. Owens has worked at CBS News for 37 years. I believe he started as an intern in the mailroom, one of those classic stories. 25 of those 37 years, he's been at 60 Minutes. And he said in his memo to colleagues on Tuesday, announcing his departure, quote, having defended this show and what we stand for from every angle over time with everything I could, I'm stepping aside so the show can move forward. 60 Minutes is famously insular, notes AP. It is run as an independent fiefdom within CBS News, so it's even independent from CBS News itself, or at least it used to be, or at least it tried to be and is still trying to be. Even without Bill Owens, he said he would likely be replaced by a current producer here. We will see how that goes. So, yeah, media. Government mandated, independent, and corporate are all right now under attack. And much of that, if not all of that, thanks to our wannabe dictator in chief who doesn't give a damn about free speech, freedom of the press, or the U.S. Constitution. Sadly, he's got some corporate help. Often to a lot of corporate help with some corporate outlets and their ownership of newsrooms who seem to want to join Trump in abusing their power against a truly free and independent press. So you see why I say the broadcast appreciates your support so we can continue our efforts over your public airwaves to remain independent with only the support of listeners like you. So as we go today from U.S. international news outlets under siege to national news outlets, corporate news outlets under siege, we move right down to local news outlets, which are also under siege and on the chopping block with the help of Trump's apparatchik at the FCC. That remarkable story. And frankly, getting little or no coverage in the independent or corporate media for some reason. That's next on today's program after a quick break, as we'll be joined by longtime award-winning broadcast vet and activist Sue Wilson to explain what's going on here. A story you probably haven't heard. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to the still 100% independent Bradcast.
Five major corporations now control more than 80% of the media in the United States, but they don't control us. The Bradcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener-supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. You can make a difference. Support independent media. Drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Love to, but I only got so much to work with. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Earlier this month, NBC television affiliates in Columbus, Ohio and Tampa Bay, Florida, and ABC affiliates in Syracuse, New York and Youngstown, Ohio, as well as CBS affiliates in Lubbock, Texas, Portland, Oregon and Grand Junction, Colorado, not to mention Fox affiliates in San Diego and Sacramento, California, as well as Kansas City, Missouri, Roanoke, Virginia, and Greensboro, North Carolina. And go ahead and add to that even CW affiliate stations in Dallas-Fort Worth and Chicago and dozens of other local affiliate stations from all of those theoretically competing network affiliates and local TV stations aired on their friendly local news programs and or ran on their station's websites, a very similar and at times nearly identical news story. And because this is radio, you can't see that I'm putting the word news into air quotes around that word. But to give you an example, here's what the story sounded like via Altoona, Pennsylvania's local CBS affiliate, WTAJ.
The Federal Communications Commission, also known as the FCC, is considering big changes, but they want to hear from you. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr says he wants to revise or eliminate regulations that impact local broadcasters in the U.S., like WTAJ and our parent company, Nexstar Media. He says the regulations have been in place too long and are no longer necessary. A public comment period is open right now, and the FCC wants as much feedback as it can get. You can learn more about the invitation initiative and how to weigh in by heading over to WTAJ.com. The deadline is April 11th.
The regulations are no longer needed. Here's what it sounded like for viewers of CW affiliate WGN in Chicago.
The FCC is asking for the public's input on its idea to revise or eliminate some regulations on TV station ownership. The initiative is called Delete, Delete, Delete. The FCC chairman says he wants to promote local journalism by eliminating long-standing rules that put limits on ownership. Our parent company, Nexstar, believes this will help local news survive and stay competitive into the future. The FCC is accepting comments from the public through April 14th. For more information, you can visit yourvoice.nxst.io.
The FCC wants to promote journalism. And apparently so does WGN. Out in Connecticut, viewers of New Haven's local TV news station WTNH, an ABC affiliate, heard this report.
Federal Communications Commission is now looking for the public's input to revise some of its regulations. The FCC's new initiative called Delete, Delete, Delete looks to end rules and regulations that are no longer necessary. It is accepting feedback through April 14th. For more information on this initiative, just go to WTNH.com.
Rules that are no longer necessary. In the media market covered by Kello, a CBS affiliate reaching local TV news viewers in parts of South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, the news about the FCC was delivered this way.
The FCC is looking at getting rid of some of the regulations on local TV stations like Kello because some of the rules are outdated and no longer necessary. The head of the FCC says reducing the regulations could help us bring you even higher quality newscasts. You can weigh in on the regulations on KelloLand.com. Just click on the Delete, Delete, Delete initiative.
Interesting. Even higher quality newscasts, all of which sounded very familiar, perhaps, for local TV news watchers, even way down in Waco, Texas, on the local Fox affiliate, KWKT.
Fox 44 and our parent company Nexstar is asking you, our viewers, to support us and your local TV stations. You can do that by responding to the Delete, Delete, Delete initiative launched by the chairman of the FCC, Brendan Carr, and ask that they eliminate the regulations threatening the growth of your local TV stations. Local news is vital, and we at Fox 44 are dedicated to producing the highest quality content that is important to you. Please help protect and support your local news stations. To read more about this initiative, head over to yourvoice.nxst.io, where you can directly respond to the FCC and make your voice heard.
Please help protect and support your local news stations. Regulations threatening the growth of your local TV news station. Sounds bad. That from Fox affiliate KWKT in Waco, Texas, owned by broadcast giant Nexstar, which also operates KYLE-TV, also in Waco, as well as second and even sometimes third local stations in each of the markets that you just heard from and that I listed at the top of this report. Nexstar is the nation's largest broadcasting conglomerate, operating more than 200 local TV stations and their local TV newsrooms across 116 markets in the U.S., raking in more than $5 billion each year. But they need your support to help them continue to grow. As Matthew Keyes of The Desk reported earlier this month, after all of those reports began to air on Nexstar affiliate stations around the country and on their websites, Nexstar Media Group had ordered most of its local TV stations to air segments during local newscasts that ultimately encourage viewers to contact the Federal Communications Commission with demands for broadcast ownership deregulation. Most of the segments he reported aired on Nexstar stations, but did not include a mention of the FCC's broadcast ownership rules, but they all ended with the mention of a web link that resolves to a Nexstar-owned website that includes pre-written social media posts specifically tagging the FCC with the demand that the agency, quote, eliminate the regulations that are threatening the growth of my local TV station. At least one news director who spoke with The Desk on background characterized the segments, just a few of which you just heard, as must runs, news packages that parent company Nexstar are requiring local stations to air in their newscasts, with pre-produced scripts that include talking points that anchors are supposed to reference during the package, including directions on how to submit social media comments to the FCC. Another news producer who agreed to speak with The Desk on condition of anonymity said that they disagreed with the news packages, opining that the packages were an attempt by Nexstar to influence the outcome of a federal regulatory matter through its local TV newscasts. Well, wouldn't it be nice if we all controlled hundreds of local TV news outlets that we could order to report ideological, or in this case, business positions to millions of local viewers as if it was actual news? But reports longtime TV news veteran Sue Wilson at bradblog.com today, members of the public can push back against all of this, or at least try to, against the initiative by Nexstar, the FCC, and Donald Trump's newly seated FCC chair, Brendan Carr, to remove all ownership rules for local TV stations, which seemed to be the point of Nexstar's campaign, to support Carr's efforts to allow huge corporate conglomerates like Nexstar, which already controls multiple TV stations in almost every single major market across the country, to swallow up even more local news stations in those very same markets under the notion that they must do so to, quote, save your local news outlets and offer, quote, even higher quality newscasts. Joining us now is Sue Wilson, veteran Emmy and AP award-winning broadcast journalist turned media reform activist, founder of the Media Action Center, and for many years, one of our go-to sources on all things FCC related. Sue Wilson, it has been a while, but welcome back to the broadcast.
It is so good to be with you, Brad Friedman. Thank you for having me.
So, Sue, what is really going on here? When I read the public notice that was issued by Trump's newly seated FCC chair, Brendan Carr, it suggested that he was looking for input from the public on doing away with any and all longstanding regulations, even if that notice didn't mention media ownership rules specifically, as all of those very similar sounding Nexstar reports on all of the various Nexstar stations around the country seem to indicate. Before we get to what listeners can do to push back against this, as you discuss in your piece at Brad Blog today, what are the existing limits on corporate control of local TV stations licensed to operate by the FCC that Nexstar has essentially ordered its hundreds of local TV newsrooms to encourage the FCC to do away with?
Well, that's a great question. And I want to start by reminding everybody who's listening to our voices that these are the airwaves over which we're speaking. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the air belongs to us. If someone were poisoning your air, what would you do? You'd fight to make sure they couldn't do that, right? Well, in fact, what's happening is that there are forces that are trying to take over the airwaves to push certain narrow philosophical points of view, mm-hmm. that they really don't want any pushback. Mm-hmm. Now, because these are our publicly owned airwaves, they belong to us. There are certain laws that are written at the congressional level and signed by the President of the United States, which protect us. And then the President and the Congress cede to the Federal Communications Commission certain rules under which we're supposed to, the broadcasters are supposed to comply. Mm-hmm. So going back to your question, let's start at the national level. If we look at all of the local TV stations in the entire United States, when TV first started, they decided that one TV station owner could have only 3 AM radio stations, 3 FM stations, and 3 television stations total. And they wanted to do that so that there would be a variety of information and points of view all throughout these United States. Mm-hmm. Well, that has changed. In 1996, we ended up with radio stations being able to, one operator can have as many stations as they can license. That's where we got into companies like Clear Channel, who has changed their name, but they have as many as 1,200 radio stations nationwide.
Now, okay? iHeartMedia or something, they call themselves, yeah.
Yes, I love media, iHeartMedia. Yes, we love media so much that we will try for every single radio station across the country that we can get.
Yes.
And it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle, and that's why it's so important we stop what's happening today with TV. Mm-hmm. Now, nationally, that's 39%. Locally, we've got your iHeart with 1,200 radio stations. The level right now is that nationally, one owner can have 39%. One television station company can reach 39% of the national population.
Total. Right.
Now, what's been happening is you have companies like Nexstar and Sinclair who are trying to game that system. They buy other companies, they form other companies so that they can look like they're under that 39% national limit, when in reality, they are broadcasting to far more than the 39% of the United States that the Congress and United States President decided would be as many as one company should reach.
Mm-hmm. So basically, they are nationally, they're saying, well, we're at our limit of owning 39 or controlling 39 TV stations or TV stations that reach 39% of the public nationally. So to push that, we're going to have shell companies, essentially, that we control running other stations in those same markets. And now they want to do away with even that facade and basically lift all of the ownership rules so you can own as many stations as you want, not only nationally, but in each and every local market around the country?
Well, they're playing a game with these numbers, okay? The National Association of Broadcasters filed a comment in this proceeding, and they talk about that, we need to change the rules so they no longer have to comply by the 39% national cap. Mm-hmm. That's not an FCC rule. The FCC rules are designed to comply with the law. The 39% cap is an actual law signed by the President of the United States. If that is to be changed, it's going to have an act of Congress and signed by the President.
So back in the day when we used to follow the rule of law and stuff, you couldn't just have an FCC chair decide, we can ignore that and we can go above 39% ownership for various companies.
That's right. But what the FCC chair and a majority of the FCC can do mm-hmm. is play with the rules, which have to do with how many local stations one company can own or operate. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the rule is that one company can have as many as two stations in a given TV market. Mm-hmm. Think about, your community. Mm-hmm. You can turn on the TV and that's your TV market. They can have two in one market, and they can get a waiver then to have a third.
Okay.
Now, often these are, and the waivers especially, dispensed by the FCC itself. Many times what we're seeing is that one local TV station will have both a Fox affiliate and an NBC affiliate, or it could be any one of the network affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seems to be working. I'll say this right now. This gets very, very political depending on who is in the White House and who is in charge of the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
When a Democrat is in charge of the White House, the FCC has a majority of Democrats on its commission.
Mm-hmm.
That switches when we have a Republican in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So during the Biden administration, Jessica Rosenworcel, the chair of the FCC, decided that we needed to curb the consolidation in local TV and perhaps radio. And we're looking very carefully at how to do that. Well, it's 2025 and there's a Republican president. And this is a Republican president who very much wants to deregulate most businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And media is on the top of that list. So what they want to do now is very quickly change those rules so that one company, like Nexstar, Sinclair, Tegna, you name it,
uh-huh.
can have as many TV stations in a single TV town as they can buy.
Which is troubling because, I focused the opening there on Nexstar, but I suspect the other major corporate broadcasters, Sinclair, Tegna, for example, that you mentioned, all of those names, I suspect the bulk of the population has never even heard of or know that they operate already multiple stations in pretty much everyone's market. I suspect that, those corporate broadcast Goliaths likely all share the same goal of expanding the rules for how many stations they can control. But most of the companies already, as you say, Sue Wilson, own two or even three stations in many major markets. And yet, I suspect when viewers see local stations, maybe one is a Fox affiliate, another is a CBS affiliate, they assume that those are competing stations, when in actuality, they are already often operated by the very same corporate parent, right? And aren't our current FCC rules meant to avoid that sort of what seems to me to be a very clear conflict of interest over our limited public airwaves to prevent, basically fake competition on the airwaves that people think is real, but really isn't?
Well, there is a different point of view on one level. I mean, if there is a national owner who is operating two network TV stations in your town,
uh-huh.
Does it really matter if you switch one station and you're watching football and you switch to the other station and you're watching you know, an NBC show. It on that level, on the national level, it doesn't really matter that much. Mm-hmm. Where it matters is how they operate their local television news.
Right.
And what we're seeing more and more across the United States is that you can turn on your TV sets and you can watch a local news reporter do a report. You turn to the next station and it's the same reporter doing the exact same report.
Right. And so when they say this is meant to improve local news, to save local news, to grow local news, in fact, in these markets where the same corporate owner is controlling the local newsroom, we are already seeing a shrinkage of news as far as that goes, because they're running a lot of the same stories on several different channels, that the expansion of those operations to allow those conglomerates to control even more stations does not seem like it will improve local TV news, but it will make, you know, it will make more of these must-run reports and reports that don't compete with each other but are simply all run by the same corporation in every town. Am I missing something here?
Well, the only thing you're missing is the game that they've been playing for years in order to get to this point. These big broadcasters have been going to the Federal Communications Commission saying, you know, we're really strapped. It's really hard to make any money because now there's the internet. We have to compete. There may be some merit to some of those arguments. Mm-hmm. But what they told the Federal Communications Commission was that if only they could have two or three stations in a single town, mm-hmm. then they could improve local news. Clearly, that is not what's happening.
Well, give us two or three stations and we'll make it better. But now that we have two and three stations, we really need even more stations. We need all the stations. I mean, we mentioned Nexstar, Sinclair, Tegna. Why don't they just go ahead and buy each other out now? We can have one station. We can one corporate owner for all stations in the country. Hell, we can call it DJT, Trump Media, if we want. And all of the stations can be controlled by the very same outlet. This seems insane to me, and I am embarrassed, frankly, for those local TV anchors who were forced to read those scripts that we played at the top of the segment, these must-run scripts told by corporate, hey, you got to go out there and, you know, and give a do a solid for the company by giving this misleading report on the FCC. That's not news, but they made it look like news, Sue.
Oh, I can guarantee you there is no way those reporters wanted to do that. The reporters definitely do not want to be used as pawns by the corporations, and they also quite well understand further consolidation, a lot of those same reporters are going to be losing their jobs.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. But let's talk about the greater impact to society. Let's pretend that you end up in one town where you have one news purveyor and that's it.
Yep.
Whatever they tell you is what they want you to believe. Yep. And that's all you're going to get.
Yep.
Now, you know, we all know we're getting into these local news deserts and your newspapers are dying on the vine. Radio might have a little bit of local news, but very little. Local TV news is really where most of the local reporting happens. Mm-hmm. If we lose that, we are going to lose touch with our local communities, even to a higher degree than we already are. Mm-hmm. And it's got to stop. And we're the ones who are going to have to stop it.
We are. And I want to talk about how to do that. You wrote a little bit about that today, very specifically at bradblog.com. But I want to very quickly underscore that, you know, I suspect a lot of our listeners here today may remember a few years ago when Sinclair, which is a very right-wing outfit, did something very similar. They ordered scores of their local TV news stations to run, in that case, the exact same script on every single outlet. The ones we played at the top here were pretty close, but in this case with Sinclair, they ordered all of these local news outlets to read the exact same script, but by the you know, the trusted local news anchor. In that case, it was a story that underscored Donald Trump's phony claims about fake news, et cetera. But it was read by these trusted local news anchors. They received a lot of shaming for that at the time by the media. But Nexstar here this time sort of seems to be doing the same thing. And in fact, underscoring the problem with this much control by single corporations of our public airwaves. And yet this issue seems to have received relatively little attention as far as I can tell. The desk reported on it. We're now reporting on it, but not much public outrage or notice about all of this. Why?
You know, it's very much by design. And if I may, I want to go back to Sinclair for just a moment.
Uh-huh.
Sinclair, and again, you know, we have these big companies. Oh, we will provide more and better local news for you. What they have done is they have shut down local newsrooms across many, many of their stations. Mm-hmm. And they are now providing a national show called the National Desk to replace those local TV news shows.
Mm-hmm. Once again, shrinking the actual news that people get. So when we hear those reports at the top of this segment saying, you know, we need your help to help continue to grow the news, to improve the news, seems like the plan is to do anything but. Sue Wilson, I got just a minute or two here. Most of those news reports that I played instructed their viewers at the very end. They gave them a website to take action by... Well, they would find out when they go there by tweeting to the FCC, and in this case, before April 14, as you heard some of those reports mention, that deadline has now passed. But as you detail at bradblog.com on Monday morning, the period for reply comments, as they're called, for perhaps our listeners to push back a little bit, that runs until Monday, April 28th, correct?
That is correct. And you know, it's very, very important that we make our voices heard. I just want to say this to everybody who's listening. You know what your local TV landscape looks like. Are you personally seeing two different stations playing exactly the same news report? If you are, please speak up. That is the heart of what we need to fight against. We need to make a record that people do not like two different stations playing the same local news. We need to tell the FCC that and tell them loudly. There's something you can do on your local level as well. Call your local stations and talk to them and say, we don't like this. That can help. But for now, we are fighting a juggernaut in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. They want to deregulate this media. They want to take over the media is what they're really after. We have to stop them.
I'll point folks to your story at bradblog.com, headlined Trump's FCC on precipice of ending all limits on corporate control of local TV news stations, where you've got a simple step-by-step on how to leave public comments at the FCC website. But viewers can also comment, you note, just by comment to the FCC by just leaving a comment on Twitter. Now also known as X, does that count?
The FCC is using X as its official mode of communication. So the FCC will be paying attention. And if someone like me were to, say, a month from now, go to the X website and start counting how many responses that they got with people saying, we don't want this to happen in our town. We want different and better local news. Mm-hmm. And specifically, tell them that you're seeing these two same reports on different stations. They've specifically said they wouldn't do that. If they are, please tell. You know, we can maybe really do something with this, but only if people speak up.
And you recommend that they, if they do it on Twitter, also known as X, that they tag the FCC, their address is at FCC, and include the hashtag delete, 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 which is the name of this program by Brendan Carr to deregulate pretty much everything when it comes to our public airwaves. And that's also the hashtag that has been recommended by these Nexstar folks. So get in the game. Leave a comment on Twitter or X if you are still on there. I don't know if the FCC is over at Blue Sky yet or not, but if you're still on Twitter, you can leave a comment at FCC and include hashtag delete, delete, delete. Sue Wilson, what would you recommend that folks say? I got about 30 seconds or a minute here.
Again, if you're seeing two different stations playing the news, tell them that. Tell them your personal stories about your hometown and remind them that it is our media. Publicly owned airwaves belong to us, and let's take our media back.
Let them know that you do not want more media consolidation at this point, because that's sure what these corporate interests who have now, frankly, captured the FCC really do want. It's why it's so important for independent folks, journalists like Sue Wilson, arguably like the broadcast here, need to stay independent to counter this takeover. This takeover of our public airwaves that are owned by we the people. Sue Wilson, always a delight speaking with you. I will, as I said, point folks to bradblog.com to your story there. She is the founder of the Media Action Center, and you can get more information at mediaactioncenter.net, and you can find her on Twitter at Sue Blues Wilson. And over now on Blue Sky at Just Sue Wilson. Sue, great speaking with you as always. Thanks for this good work. And we will continue to cover all of this as best we can in this insane era. Thanks, Sue.
Thank you, Brad Friedman. You're a national hero.
Well, I don't know about that. Blush, blush, blush. Anyway, thank you. Thanks, Sue.
Yeah, now okay. I just want to jump in very quickly because I think that even if you aren't personally seeing duplicate news reports on your local TV news stations, the principle remains the same.
A lot of people don't, by the way, because they watch one particular station. They don't know.
You may not
they have
switch
a favorite
around.
Station, right?
Exactly. So even if you don't see that, the principle remains the same, and it really does matter, because the reason why Congress established caps on media ownership by law was because lawmakers knew and saw the unchecked power of media ownership monopolies in shaping public opinion and the public's access to accurate information. I mean, so, you know, when you're looking at your local news station, that can show up in how your local news station makes its coverage choices, what they choose to cover, what they don't choose to cover.
Correct. What they're told not to cover by their corporate overlords in a completely different state.
And not just that, how they cover it as well. Who do they talk to? Who do they interview? Do they cover different viewpoints? I mean, if you're going to a national model where you only get to watch what the national network corporate parent wants you to see, are they covering, say, your local issues, your local city council meetings, for example? So, you know,
apparently they're spending time forcing their local news anchors to talk about this national interest, this national issue that is of interest to them and their corporate interest, not necessarily in the best interest of the public, is it?
Yeah, and, you know, further consolidation, as Sue mentioned, it does not just reduce competition in local markets, it can kill it off particularly well, because, you know, we've seen that here in Los
Angeles.
That's
the hope.
The hope. You know, so media ownership rules are not outdated, and they are not no longer necessary, as FCC Chairman Carr claims. I mean, they are literally, those rules are literally needed now more than ever while we're in this, you know, this fight to prevent the authoritarian takeover of America. I mean, consolidating the public airwaves under the ownership of just a few oligarchs is authoritarianism 101. So, as she mentioned, you know, in other places, as you've covered as well, that when you have that consolidation of media ownership, it makes it much easier to dispense propaganda. It was used to great effect by the Nazis. It's used really well right now by Russia, the preventing Russians from actually hearing more broad viewpoints to know what's actually going on.
Sounds like
world.
You got a few thoughts about all of this for some reason. Des?
Yeah. I used to work in a local news station here in Los Angeles, and I saw
which one.
I saw how they tried to make those choices, those coverage choices, and they were all very good people. They worked really hard to make the best choices that they could, the best kind of coverage that they could within the budget that they were allowed and within the constrictions that were placed on them by the corporations. And that was KTLA.
KTLA, which, by the way, was a Tribune station. You know who owns KTLA here in LA now?
Nexstar.
Correct.
Yeah.
Scooping them all up. By the way, and I know we got to get out, but I just want to say, as far as leaving public comment at the FCC, Sue Wilson in her article steps you through it step by step, because they do not make it easy to leave public comment at the FCC website. As a matter of fact, I should note, it's not only the FCC. It's really all federal agencies that are open to public comment on regulations. You think, well, that's great, but if you ever try to leave public comment, it can be really hard and confusing because you need to know what it is you're commenting on. So you have to put in a certain number, and she gives you all the details on that. It's not just the FDA that does that. I'm sorry, the FCC that does it, but also, yeah, the FDA and EPA and all the
interior,
rest.
All of them.
They make it hard because I think they don't actually want you and me to leave comments. You know who does know how to navigate those websites? The corporate attorneys who work for, you know, corporations like Nexstar. They know exactly how to navigate them. So do your best. Sue Wilson gives you the step-by-step at bradblog.com, or, as she knows, just the easy way, go on Twitter, include at FCC and the hashtag delete, 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 and I mean, it'll help.
If this is something that you care about, then that is an action you can take to speak up, because you know that the corporate owners of all of these stations most definitely will.
We got to get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen. Once again, to Sue Wilson of MediaActionCenter.net, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. It's always an honor and greatly appreciated. If you missed any portion of today's program, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. And once again, that is a service made possible by those of you who support our work to help us remain on your public airwaves by hitting a donate button or stopping by bradblog.com/donate. You can drop me email. I am bradcast@bradblog.com, and you will find me on the social medias, particularly Blue Sky, at the Brad Blog. Come on by, follow, say hello. Always good to hear from you. All right, that's it. We'll see you at all of the above. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.